is teaching us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit about our need of righteousness, about universal sin. Because sin is universal, Romans chapter number 1, there is a need for universal righteousness upon all people. Whether it's a Jew or a Gentile, it doesn't make any difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so therefore, we must have the righteousness of God upon us. And he describes in verse number 18, through the end of the chapter, he describes here how that people without the righteousness of God have the propensity to walk away farther and farther away from God. And each step of the way, as they take another step away from God, they get a little darker in their life. Their sin becomes a little bit more wicked. And it talks about here about the downward spiral of the lost as they journey away from God. And I'm thankful to be saved today. And I'm glad that on my death spiral, Jesus Christ intervened in my life. And he pulled me up out of the miry clay and he set my feet on a solid rock and he established my goings. Amen. And he put a new song in my heart, even joy unto the Lord. I'm glad that the Lord was able to do that in my life. But there are some that take a different path. They keep going down farther and farther on that death spiral until life is over. And they look back and they think, where in the world did I go wrong? Eternity is an awful long time to think about where we went wrong. And I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 18. He says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even His eternal power and Godhood, so that they are," what is it, everybody? "Without excuse." You know, there is not a single person in this world that cannot look up into the heavens and deny the fact that there is a Creator that created all of this. I mean, God's general revelation speaks to all of us. Now, I'm glad that He has also given us a specific revelation called the Word of God. But He's given us the general revelation that tells us that there is the eternal God. He is a Creator of all. And as a Creator of all, He is all-powerful and He spoke this world into existence. I'm glad, as a child of God, I do not have to fall for the lies of this world and the lies of the devil that tells our public school children that we came out of some type of premortal slime and that over millions and billions of years here we are. You know, that takes a lot more faith than what the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so we see here, it says in verse number 20 that they are without excuse. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, in other words, they knew who He was, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Now look at verse number 24. I want you to repeat that first phrase with me. Wherefore God also gave them up. You know, it's a terrible thing when a person gets to the place in their life when they have walked so far away from God, God says, you know what? I'm done with them. I'm going to give up. And there comes a point in time in a person's life after God has dealt with them and God has dealt with them and God has dealt with them. God says, you know what, buddy? You've crossed the line and no longer I'm going to deal with you. And you can just have your own way with your own life. That's a dangerous place to be in. And God forbid that there be anybody here under the sound of my voice today that has been in that place. And if you find your heart getting hard towards the things of God, now is the time to turn back to God, because you don't know when you might go and take that one step too far from God. No longer will you ever hear the voice of God again. The Bible tells us, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Now listen to this. Does it make any difference what our Supreme Court says? Does it make any difference what our state courts say? It doesn't make any difference what the liberal media has to say. The Word of God is always true. And we need to listen to what the Word of God has to say, regardless of what anybody else in the world has to say. It says that God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving unto themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Those two verses are dealing with homosexuality and the lesbian movement. Recently, there was churches in the state of Georgia that have been contacted by local officials, and they were mandated to turn over their sermon outlines to see if they spoke out against homosexuals and lesbians. And they wanted to charge them with hate crimes. The only thing I can say is, if they want to do that here at Grace Baptist Church, come and arrest me now. I don't hate those people, but the truth of the matter is, what they are doing is a sin against God. And one day, they're going to have to stand before God, not before me. And the liberal media, one day, they're going to have to stand before God and not before me. Listen, we need to understand, the Bible says that God has given them up. It's a terrible thing when we take one step too far away from God. You say, well, can a homosexual be saved if they will repent of their sin and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior? Yes, I believe that they can be saved. But you're walking on dangerous ground. Because the Bible says that when a person starts getting into that type of sin, the hearts become hard and God gives them up. Look at verse number 28. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over. We find, first of all, that God gave them up to vile affections, and now God is giving them over to a reprobate mind. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now look at the epitaph on their life. Being filled with all unrighteousness and fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, they know that it's wrong. They know that one day they're going to have to stand before God even though they deny it in their own mind. Deep down inside, they know that the judgment of God is coming. And it says here in verse number 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before You, Lord, I ask and pray that You'd give me liberty, Lord, to say the things You'd want me to say. And Lord, I pray that You'd help me, Lord, to preach Your Word. Lord, I pray that You'd help Your people to have ears to hear. Lord, help us to apply these truths to our life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were to visit the Washington, D.C., and as you approach the Capitol building, one of the things that you would notice as you approach the Capitol building is a series of large steps. And there's massive steps that lead up to the Capitol building. You know, steps lead us places. Amen? And the same is true spiritually. Every step that we take in our life is a step on a spiritual journey, either towards God or away from God. Tonight I want to be bringing a message on steps that lead towards God. And today I want to bring you a message on the path that leads away from God as it's described in Romans chapter number 1. And there are steps that lead us away from God. And I hope and pray today that you are on a path that is leading you towards God and not away from God. Amen? And I want you to notice, the Bible says it has a lot to say about steps. In Proverbs chapter number 1, verse number 10, it says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." In just a couple of verses later, it says, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path." The Bible says if there are sinners that are consenting us, or they're wanting us to sin with them, it says, "Consent thou not." In other words, you don't listen to the wicked crowd. You don't go down the same path that they go down. Why? Because the judgment of God is down that path. In Proverbs chapter number 4 and verse number 14, the Bible says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men." The Bible is very clear. There is a path that the evil take, and there is a path that the wicked take. And God's people are not to take that path. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Amen. We are not to take that path. Jesus said very clearly in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate. And narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." A man came to me about a year or so ago and said, "Preacher, you're just too narrow." I said, "Thank you." I said, "You know what? I'm going to be as narrow as what the Bible is narrow." I says, "What do you want me to be, broad?" I says, "You know what it says in Matthew 7 about that? You know, I'm not going to go the broad way." Amen? I'm going to go the straight and narrow way. The Bible talks about a path. The week before last, I went to the jail to visit a few people. And as I was visiting these two young men, they both pretty much said this, "I can't believe that I'm here. I can't believe that I'm here." One said, "It was just to be a joke. That's all it was. It was supposed to be a joke." I looked right at him and I said, "Not funny." And now he's looking at a long, long time in prison. Another one said, "You know what, I just gave myself over to do what I wanted to do instead of what God wanted me to do." And he says, "I knew it was wrong." And he says, "I just went ahead and did it anyway. And here I am." You know how they got there? They didn't wake up one day and said, "You know what, I'm going to do something really dumb today." What happened? They took one step away from God. And they said, "You know what, it's not important for me to read my Bible today." And God got a little distant from them. And they took another step from God. And they didn't pray. They took another step away from God and they didn't go to church. And they took another step away from God and they started hanging with the wrong friends. And they took another step, a downward step away from God. And the things that they knew was wrong, now they're embracing those things. How did they get there? I'll tell you how. Just one step at a time. Just one step at a time away from God. And you might say, "You know what? I'll never do those things." And you'll just take one step away from God. And you'll take another step away from God. And you'll take another step away from God. And the next thing you know, you're going to be exactly where they are today. Because it all starts with one step. One step away from God. The Bible is filled with people, historical accounts of people that have taken a step away from God. And we might think, "Well, you know what? I'll never do that." Really? Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day. They had a relationship with God like you and I have never experienced. They talked with God. They fellowshiped with God. And that one day the devil came along and tempted them, and they took a step away from God. And that step away from God led to sin, and that sin fell upon all men, and we have reaped the result of all of those things. You say, yeah, boy, I tell you what, I'm really upset with Adam. You know what? If it wasn't Adam, it'd be you. And if it would be me, because I would have sinned and you would have sinned if you were put in the exact same place that Adam and Eve were put in. You say, why did they sin? They took a step away from God. We read about people in the Bible like Cain. Cain, I have to think that Cain probably knew how to sacrifice to God. I just think that he did. After all, Abel knew how to sacrifice to God. I believe that Adam knew how to sacrifice to God. But Cain came along and said, you know what? I'm such a great guy. Lord, here is the fruit of all of my labors. And he took the grain and he took the fruit of the land and he sacrificed it. And God said, uh-uh. He said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, behold, sin lieth at the door. And the next thing we know, Cain took a step away from God and he murdered his brother. You say, oh, preacher, that would never happen to me. I hope and pray it never would. But I'm here to tell you, you as a child of God are capable of doing anything a lost person can do if you're not led by the Spirit of God. And those of you that are here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and the Spirit of God is not controlling you, He has not birthed you into His family, He has not made you a new creature in Christ, you have the opportunity to be taken captive by the devil at his own will whenever he wants to. You see, Cain was just one step away from God. We find that the whole world during Noah's time, the whole world was filled with violence and corruption. And yet there was a man that walked with God. His name was Noah. And the whole world was destroyed. Why? Because they took a step away from God. And they took another step and another step and another step until they were so far away from God, God says, I'm going to destroy them. You know, the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so also shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. You know, America is not far off from what Sodom and Gomorrah was. America is not far off from what it was during the time before the times of the flood. I think of what the Bible talks about in Jonah chapter number 1. Jonah was told by God, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach unto it. The Bible says he arose and he fled unto Tarshish. At that time, it was the farthest known place in the world. It was actually the islands of England. And he was going to take a ship in the Mediterranean Sea and sail as far away as he could. He didn't want to do God's will. He took a step away from God. He heard the voice of God and command of God, and Jonah says, you know what? I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to do my own thing. He took a step away from God. And the Bible says that as he made his journey away from God, now listen to this. In Jonah chapter number 1, verse number 3, the Bible says he went down unto Joppa and he paid the fare thereof. You always pay the fare when you run from God. And he went down down to the ship, verse number 4. In verse number 5, he went down into the inside the ship. In verse number 15, after the storm arose, and he said, you know what, this is all my fault. They threw him overboard, and he went down into the water. And then we find in verse number 17, he went down into the belly of the great fish. He went down, 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 down. And it all started, he took a step away from God. And every time we take a step away from God, we are on a downward spiral of destruction. And we have to remember that. Now, as we read the last part of Romans chapter number 1, I hope you're still there. As we read the last part of chapter number 1, we come to the first part of the doctrinal teaching, the need for the righteousness because of universal sin. When we read those verses we just read, we see the debauchery that it ends up with. Being filled with all unrighteousness and fornication and wickedness and covetousness and maliciousness and full of envy and murder and debate and deceit and malignity and whisperers and backbiters and haters of God and so on and so forth. You say, oh preacher, that's horrible. How did they get there? One step at a time. One step at a time until all of a sudden they find that they're right in the middle of the whole thing. They have no idea how to get out. You see, it comes by steps. Here in Romans, Paul describes the downward spiral away from God. They are steps towards wickedness and heathenism. I think this is where America is heading. America is not great because of our political system. America is not great because of our educational system. America saw its greatness because America was good and godly.
Yeah, that's right.
And America has turned its back on God and has turned its back on goodness and morality. And now we see the judgment of God, just like the judgment of God coming upon Sodom and Gomorrah and the judgment of God that fell upon the days as it was in the days of Noah. We see that same judgment starting to fall upon America. And all we can do as God's people is to cry out to God and ask God to send us personal revival and ask God to go ahead and cleanse us. But today I'd like to have you consider some things out of Romans 1. And I'm going to go quick through this. I want to give you 10 things. Hope you'll jot these things down. These are 10 steps. 10 steps away from God. Found in Romans chapter 1. The first step. 19 and 20, chapter 1. Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You might want to, in the margin of your Bible, write these terms. General revelation. God speaks to us in two ways. Number one, He speaks to every person in the world through what's called general revelation. And God promises in Jeremiah chapter number 29, verse number 13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, it says in verse number 14. God promises this. If the heathen out there in the middle of Africa or the heart of Australia or wherever it might be, maybe in the heart of Chicago or New York or Toledo, if that wicked person would say, you know what, there has to be more than what my evolutionary science teacher is teaching me. There has to be a God that created all of this. And with all of my heart, I'm going to find out who God is. God promises that He will reveal Himself to that person that seeks after God. The first step was they denied general revelation. They denied the fact that there's a creator. They accepted and believed the lie of evolution. First step in that downward spiral. And today, for us today, not only do we have the general revelation, you look at aren't the colors in the trees beautiful? Friday, my wife and I took off. We went up to IKEA up in Canton, Michigan. Wow, what a place. Filled full of all kinds of home furnishings and stuff. And on the way up, the trees were just beautiful. And my wife actually took some pictures as we're going down the road and the beautiful colors. You know what? I'm sorry. I don't believe that that just happened to be. I believe that God is the greatest artist that has ever been. And I look at that and I have to understand that, yes, God speaks to us through the general revelation. He speaks the fact that God is real. He is the Creator. But God also speaks to us through His divine Word. This is specific revelation, the Word of God. And when people deny the fact that there is a Creator and believe in evolution, automatically they're going to deny the fact that the Bible is the Word of God. That's the first step away from God. The first step away from God is this. I don't believe that God exists. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they. They have done abominable works. Look at Romans 1. Look at verse number 21. I want you to notice the second step. So the first step is, there is no God. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. That is a step away from God. Verse number 21, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And so number two, they glorified Him not as God. The Bible says, whether we eat, drink, or whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God. The reason why that man was put on this earth, that we might be able to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's the whole duty and the purpose of man. We did not come into existence, and God did not create us so that we could have a wonderful life. God created us so that we could go ahead and enjoy Him forever. And so they glorified Him not as God. This is a step away from God. My question is, do you glorify God with your life? Do you glorify God with the things that you say and the things that you do and the places that you go? Do you glorify God? Number three, it says, neither were they thankful. We live, and I tell you what, it's very easy to get caught up in a murmuring and a grumbling crowd. It's very easy for that to happen. Your preacher, it's very easy for me to grumble and gripe and complain about all the things that I think I deserve until I take a good look at myself and understand I don't deserve anything. And if we would take a good look at ourselves and see that we are just nothing more than a sinner under the judgment of God, that because of His divine mercy and His grace has bestowed upon us salvation, we can see ourselves like that. All of a sudden, we start to become thankful. We really don't deserve anything, do we? Neither were they thankful. You know, one of the things that describes the last days, according to the book of Timothy, it says that they were unthankful, unholy. I think we're living in those last days today. People today are not thankful for what they have. That's a step away from God. Young people, listen to me. You need to be thankful for your parents. I know that's a biggie, you know, at your age, but you need to be thankful for your parents. You need to be thankful for your church and your pastor and your Sunday school teachers. Amen? You need to be thankful for the people that care about you and love you and try to help you. Too many times, Christian parents, Christian kids, will jump right into their meal, never bow their head and thank God for it. That's a shame. We should be thankful. We ought to thank God for our day. Thank God for our food. Thank God for the place we live. And thank God for the place that we worship. They glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful. Look at verse number 21. Because of this, they became vain in their imaginations. They started focusing on things that really didn't make any difference. Man, I got to get to the next level on this video game. If I don't, the whole world's going to come to an end. God, help us all. There is more to life than video games. Became vain in their imaginations. You know, that stuff will destroy your mind after a while. Next thing you know, you're going to be dreaming about Angry Birds flying through the air, running into buildings and blowing up. They were vain in their imagination. And we become vain in our imagination, the Bible says, their foolish heart was darkened. As a child of God, God has called us to light. Your life as a child of God should radiate the light of Christ. In no means or fashion should your life portray darkness at all. The Bible says, in Him is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. We are children of light, not children of the darkness. We're supposed to walk in the light as He is in the light. Don't look like darkness. Don't act like darkness. Don't be filled with darkness. Be filled with the light of God. They were vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened. Look at verse number 22. After their foolish heart was darkened, the Bible says in verse number 22, professing themselves to be wise. Hey, look at me. I'm smart. I have got more degrees than a thermometer. Why, you ought to listen to me because I have got all of these degrees hanging on my wall. There are some that are out there that I have to tell you they're educated. The next word that falls behind that are called idiots. And I'm all for education. But there are some that are professionally educated idiots. They're conceited. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. One book that I read by Stephen Hawkins, A Brief History of Time. He's a great, supposedly great physicist, evolutionist. Says, you know what? Everything is going forward in time. Everything since the Big Bang, and he had all these mathematical equations, proving the fact that everything is going forward in time, but there's going to come a point in time when everything's going to start reversing. Because gravity is going to pull everything back to the point of centrality once again. And at that point in time, time's going to start going backwards. And everybody's going to start living their life backwards. And those that died are going to come back to life, and those that then all of a sudden are going to start getting younger and younger and younger because time's going to go backwards. And although he doesn't actually come out and say all of those things, that's what he's implying. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They're conceited, verse 22. Verse number 23. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. In other words, verse number 23, they brought God down to man's level. And they said, you know what? We're all gods. God is in me and God is in you and God is in everything. And so they said, you know what? We're all deity. And so therefore, we all have rights to do whatever we want because we're all gods. And not only that, but the birds have rights, and the whales have rights, and the dolphins have rights, and the dogs have rights, and chimpanzees have rights. And I think there's a bill right now that is trying to get personhood granted to chimpanzees, orangutans, dolphins, and I think dogs. And they're trying to say that these animals should not be on a leash, on a chain, or in a cage because they have rights and they are people like us. Now, if that passes the next step, they're going to issue them Social Security cards, green cards, and marriage licenses. Oh, I love my chihuahua. I'm just going to marry my chihuahua. Say, what? We might laugh about that, but I'm telling you, that's what's on the horizon. We never would have thought 100 years ago where we were at today was going to take place. They brought God down to his level, down to man's level. And then verse number 24 and 25, these are all steps away from God. Denied revelation of God. Glorified not God. They weren't thankful. They were vain in their imaginations. They were conceited. They brought God down to down to man's level. And then verse 24 and 25, they embraced lasciviousness. It says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Hey, it feels good. I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'm going to embrace it. This has to be good because it just feels so great. It's called lasciviousness. An evil, lustful desire. And it has a connotation, when you talk about lasciviousness, it has the connotation of a sexual, evil, lustful desire. It is a step away from God. And then verse number 26 and 27, I've already talked about it. But it talks about the women and men and their relationships one with another. It talks about homosexuality and it talks about lesbianism. It's against God.
That's right.
Go back to the book of Leviticus, if you would. I just want you to see this from the Word of God. Look at Leviticus 18, verse number 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is what?
Abomination.
That's, I didn't say abomination, all right? I said abomination. In other words, it is a grievous, wicked sin before God. Amen? What is this describing? It is describing what is the Apostle Paul was describing in Romans chapter number 1, verse number 26 and 27, and it's talking about homosexuality. Bible calls it an abomination before God. You say, well, if you talk that way, preacher, you're never going to win a homosexual to the Lord. Well, sure. If they will repent of their sins and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, they can have forgiveness like anybody else. But you see, a person doesn't become homosexual because one day they wake up and say, hey, I think I'm going to be homosexual today. No, they take steps away from God. One step after another step after another step. And then look at verse number 28. Even as they did not like to retain God in their what? You ought to write down beside of that, atheism. The word atheism comes from two words. Theism is in reference to God. And when you put the letter A in front of theism, that letter A means no. So therefore, atheism is no God. even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Man, what hope do our public school system kids have? What hope do they have when they're constantly being bombarded in their textbooks and in their classrooms? No God. No God. We're all here because of the Big Bang. Now I realize there's, and thank the Lord, there are some educators out there and some school teachers that don't believe that, and they'll make statements, this is what our textbook says, and that's not what I believe, and I thank the Lord for people like that. But I also know that there are Christian kids in public school that have been told, you're not allowed to discuss creation. There are kids in public school system that have been berated and they have been put down and they have been tore apart by public educators because of the fact that they believe that there's a God. They did not like to retain, in other words, to possess, to have, to hold, to keep. They didn't like to keep God in their minds. By the way, if you don't fill your mind with the Lord, what's it going to be filled with? So they embraced lasciviousness, they turned to homosexuality, they turned to atheism. And then, finally, the last step. Verse 29 through verse number 32. They did whatever they wanted to do, and they manifested the fruits of wickedness in their life. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They manifested the fruits of wickedness in their life. The path away from God has a lot of company. The path away from God, Jesus said in Matthew 7, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Oh, if you go that way, listen, you're going to have all kinds of company follow you. That's the majority crowd. By the way, remember the majority that went and spied out the land of Israel, the promised land? 10 were bad and 2 were good, the little kid's song says. Because of the 10 evil report, the children of Israel believed them. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. See, the path from God has a lot of company. Someone once said that life is the sum total of all the decisions we make. If a person takes the pathway away from God, you remember that path is trodden upon one step at a time. Another step, and another step, and another step. It starts with not reading our Bible, and then it goes to not praying, and not going to church, not being involved in the things of God, and the next thing you know, we're going to be so far away from God, as it says in the Scripture, we have forgotten that we were once purged from our old sins. A person takes the path away from God, the result is never good, and the next generation will end up suffering for it. I've talked to parents over the past 30 years of being in ministry, and I've heard parents say, I don't understand where I went wrong. What parents do in moderation, children will do in excess. We ought to make much of God. We ought to make much of Jesus Christ. We ought to make much of His Word. instead of trying to find excuses. God, help us to walk toward God. God, help us to take the path toward God, not away from Him. You want to ensure yourself of never getting there? It says in James chapter number 4 and verse number 8, draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. You know how you draw nigh to God? Just a step at a time. Just a step at a time. Nobody becomes a super Christian overnight. This doesn't happen. We get to close to God a step at a time, and I open up my Bible and I'll read and I'll pray and I'll draw close to God. And I'll go to church and I'll hear the preaching of the Word of God, and I'll go to Sunday school and I'll hear the teaching of the Word of God, and I'll draw close to God. And step by step, I'm going to draw close to God. And as I draw close to God, God is going to go ahead and draw nigh unto me. But if you're on the wrong path, that's not going to happen. Today, if you find yourself on the path of the unrighteous, I'm here to tell you, you can switch paths today. Amen? Because God loves you so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price for your sin. And if you'd be willing to say, Lord, You are right and I am wrong. You are holy and I am sinful and I need You as my Savior. If you would call out to Him, He would save your soul and He would make you a new creature in Christ. He would make you born again. Amen? Don't take the path away from God. I'm going to close with one verse. Look at Matthew 25. Look at verse 46. Matthew chapter 25. Look at verse number 46. Jesus is talking about when all mankind stand before Him. It says, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Two paths. Two eternities. The righteous path comes through Jesus Christ. The unrighteous path, all you have to do is just be born into this world and you're already on it. Because we're already sinners. We're already condemned. But today you can switch paths. If you've switched paths, determine you're going to draw close to God. Amen? Let's bow our heads, please. The path away from God. Father in heaven, Lord, we ask and pray that You'd help us understand the necessity of walking with You and being in Your Word, being in prayer, being in church, and step by step, day by day, walking with You and drawing close to You. And Lord, I pray if there's Christians here today that are distant from You, help them, Lord, to realize that You have not moved, but they have walked away. Help them, Lord, to return to Thee. Lord, I pray if there's anyone in our midst that's lost, help them to change paths today. Guide and direct. We ask it all in Christ's name, with every head.